If you want, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2, but I want you to kind of fast forward to this coming Friday. As it's been mentioned, it is Christmas. And so as we look to this Christmas season, and for many of us, the wait is finally over. The secrets that have been tucked away under the tree are going to be unwrapped that morning for many of us. And for many of us, and for those of us with children in the home, are probably going to be woken up at 5 a.m. with the pokes and the giggles saying, "Mom and Dad, I can't wait any longer. Let's go." Many of us will likely gather around the Christmas tree and let the unwrapping begin. Let the secrets out. What we got our loved ones, what we longed for their joyous faces to scream with happiness. And more than likely, you have, if you're on the receiving end, no idea what you're about to get. That's the whole idea of a Christmas wish list. You don't know what out of that you're going to receive. And if they were possibly kind of mean to you, they might have wrapped your gift inside of a box, inside of another box, inside of another box, inside of another box, and taped it all up just to make it hard for you. This season really is, in my opinion, unlike any other season throughout the year. It is a season that is filled with celebration that lasts for months, TV commercials that last for nearly half the year anticipating it, but it's also a season filled with secrets and buildup and anticipation of what is to come. It is probably the second and third, or first and second, depending on where you look, most used holiday for the individual to drop to their knee and ask their loved one to marry them. Out of any other season, this is the season where marriages begin. Out of any other season, there are more surprises that unravel. There's just something exciting about keeping a secret for so long and then there being the reality of it coming to fruition. Just last week, a dear friend of my wife and I celebrated her 40th birthday. And her husband planned a weekend filled with secrets, filled with secret birthday parties and secret dinners with family and friends, and a secret trip that she had no idea was coming. A friend of ours who works over at Chick-fil-A shared how he was a part of the big revealing party of the new Chick-fil-A in Spokane. And this isn't a plug for them, just a story. What shocked him most was that when that secret became a reality, when what everyone in the area anticipated coming finally happened, and he got to be a part of the training opportunity over there and help their team out, he said what shocked him most was the fact that people waited in the drive-thru for over 3 hours. And they waited there until finally the doors closed at 10 p.m., and the staff actually had to walk back what seemed like, he said, a countless number of cars just to tell the people that their wait wasn't going to happen and they weren't going to get food that night. That was what happened when the secret became reality. It fills us with joy. It fills us with happiness. And we're willing to wait for hours, days, weeks to see what we've been waiting and experience that long-awaited moment of what we've been hoping for become reality. And what better story than Jesus' birth? The secret that the world had been waiting for. You see, whenever we see a secret, or whenever we experience that magical moment of dropping to a knee and asking our spouse to love us for the rest of their life, when we open up that present, unless it's that ugly sweater given by, grandmas, typically, we shout it from the mountaintops. We tell everybody around us what it is that just took place in our life. And I can only imagine the buildup of excitement, the moment in time when everything for God was just perfect. to deliver his son. I can just imagine the giddy, I can't hold it in any longer, feeling God, I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but might have felt that night whenever Jesus' arrival was going to happen in the little town of Bethlehem. The eagerness to poke it at someone and say, guess what? It's going to happen. It's finally arrived. And I can't imagine him, or just can imagine that excitement, that forever relationship about to be revealed so that you and I can enter that relationship with him. But you know what's strange? Is God didn't do what I would do and what more than likely you would do if at the birth of a baby or at the wonderful news of an engagement or a wonderful reception of a birthday party or even the wait of a Chick-fil-A and you're standing in line for 3 hours just to get a chicken sandwich. God didn't make the big reveal and announcement of the most amazing, life-altering, salvation-giving opportunity for everyone throughout all of time with some big show and loudspeakers. There wasn't any exploding targets revealing the gender. There wasn't any planes flying over with a banner saying, "He's come." There was no media news outlets there waiting outside the barn doors ready to broadcast this thing and live stream it. There was really just a quiet, silent whisper out in the fields to a few individuals. Jesus' birth was welcomed with what seemingly looks like to you and I silence. The secret was coming out with a whisper. Now, that to me is like, why, Lord? Why? And as the song goes, even silent night, holy night, all is calm. And that is, here's the beauty of it. The silent night, this quiet hush, the silent whisper God to use to announce the birth of the Savior. You see, rather than using some loudspeaker that would catch everybody off guard, rather than using some media outlet, he did something drastically different than we would ever have done or thought to do. He ignited the flame in the hearts of a few who would be forever and radically transformed. And they became the loudspeaker forever to everyone they met. And then they became the loudspeaker. And they became the loudspeaker. And before long, what happened was God's flame that ignited that night in the lives of the shepherds that we're going to see, that spread like wildfire. So did you catch that? God uses the transformed life of a few like you and me to share the greatest news that has ever entered this world. You and I get to be the loudspeaker for God of the amazing story that Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, who has come and whom everyone around us is longing for, we get to share it. We get to participate in this amazing love story. And if he'd taken all of that away from us, what would have happened? We get to do it. We get to be a part of that. And so the thing I want you to hear today and walk away with today is while the greatest gift in the world came quietly to us in one night in the little town of Bethlehem as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we're going to see, to offer salvation, the broadcaster for that greatest news story, that greatest gift ever offered, is you and I, whose life has been transformed by coming into a relationship with him. Now, I know for many of us here today, the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus' birth, we've heard most of our lives. We probably know exactly where we're going to be looking at in Luke chapter 2, and you probably already have that memorized. And for many of us, the tradition is we gather together every year in a church to celebrate the news of Jesus' birth. And it is my prayer, though, that this year and today especially, that you hear something new and fresh from the Lord. It's my prayer that as we open up a familiar story, that you allow the Lord to speak to you today and not just set it to the side and say, yes, I remember that story, I know what he's going to say, and just let the Lord speak to you today in the familiarity of the birth of Jesus. And I want to turn our attention to Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and really kind of focus on a specific verse that helps lay out the rest of the verses that we're going to take a look at in the remaining of the story and the remaining of the time. So Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, Luke writes this, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn." You see, since the foundation of the world, God knew that his most precious gift, you and I and everyone around us, everyone who has ever lived, you and I would sin against him. He knew that. He knew that we would become an enemy with him and that we would strive to live our lives on our own and do our own thing and think we were better off without him. And he had prepared a wonderful gift, so wonderful that would bring us into an everlasting relationship. He had that planned since the beginning. He had prepared for this day that he would step into our lives as one of us to help set us free, to offer us a way out. The Israelites anticipated this day for countless hundreds of years. The day their Messiah and Savior for generations, they would watch and they would wait for that arrival. The prophets spoke and prophesied of the day this Messiah would come. And then the day came, the perfect moment in history, the perfect moment, the fullness of time, as Paul writes later on, where it was complete and ready, and God ushered in the salvation plan. How it happened, though, just like the announcement, was the way nobody expected or anticipated. It came as a baby, not as some mighty king. It came as a baby in a manger, not in some palace. While they waited for some loud announcement and grand entrance, a baby was born with the seemingly small, silent whisper in a field. While they waited, a young woman brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room. While they waited, they completely overlooked the fact that he was coming right then and there, right that night. You see, the Messiah they longed for was greeted with what seems like silence, not just from an announcement perspective, but silence from the crowds gathering and celebrating his arrival. The greatest gift ever to be given, the greatest thing that has ever come and will ever come, was overlooked because no one thought to look for a feeding trough holding a newborn baby. And so, what was God's answer both to that silence? To light a spark, to light a flame in the lives of a few individuals whose lives would be forever transformed and allow them to participate in sharing and meeting this baby. So now continue reading with me the story of what takes place next in verse 8. Luke writes, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it. All those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, if you want to talk about a passage that is rich, with so many points to look into and dive into and study, this one is it. There is so much to this passage that we could spend several days just kind of standing in awe of all that God did that night. And as such, though, I want us to kind of look out and focus in on really three different things that took place that evening and the following hours after the arrival. And that is, first, the simple message that transformed the lives of these shepherds. You see, there was nothing really all that flashy or extremely technical or extremely religious in the verbiage that the angels used. I mean, yes, there was the fact that the angels were there and God's glory was shining around them. That obviously is pretty flashy, and that's pretty big. But the message was clear. The message was concise, and the message was really kind of simple. The message was, today there's a baby born. Here's what he's going to look like, and he came to save all mankind. Why don't you go check it out? I added that. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. A Savior is born, and his name is Jesus. That's it. That's the message that sparked the fire in the shepherds' lives. That's the message that forever transformed their lives. And for many of us here today, if you call yourself a Christ follower, the message that changed your life forever was the fact that there was a baby who came to be the Savior of all mankind, and his name is Jesus. That's the message and the good news of the gospel, saving grace of what Jesus came to do. The good news that a Savior is born to forgive you of your sins, who came to conquer the death and offer us hope, peace, joy through a relationship. And by the way, his name is Jesus. The greatest gift ever shared is waiting to be received by anyone who is willing to come, who is willing to trust in that name. It makes me wonder, how often do we and myself try to make the message of salvation kind of too technical? How often do we try to use major theological words that really make us sound smarter than probably we ought to be? How often do we take the message of the truth that the Savior of mankind was born, died, and rose, and his name is Jesus, and we try to complicate it for others around us? You see, how do we live our life as though we're a certain elite group of special operations, operation of Christian folks can be the ones to share it? We oftentimes move that direction. All the while, God shows us through this announcement to the shepherds that I came to give give salvation to you and for you and the rest of the world through my son, Jesus. And the good news is kind of simple. The Savior was born. He lived a sinless, perfect life as an example for you. He died in your place. He conquered the grave. And all you've got to do is trust in him. That's the good news. And the wonderful promise is we get to come into the family of God when we trust and come and follow. The angels told the simple message of hope and salvation to a group of individuals who were longing for that hope the most. They told it to a group of individuals that really, to that day's standards, should have never received it first. But yet God deployed his message and his announcement to them to radically change their life, to use their testimony to broadcast it. I don't know if you've turned on the news lately or ventured around town too often lately, but if you do, I bet you're going to see and hear of individuals both in our community and around the world who are wondering, is there any hope for their life? Is there any peace to ever be found in this world, especially in our day today? Is there anywhere to find joy for my life to last another day other than this bottle or these pills or whatever else I'm sinking into? Is there anywhere to turn? And just like the angels that night, you and I are called to share this wonderful news, to tell, to live out the simple message of salvation that can be found in and through Jesus. The message to the shepherds that they heard that night, again, a Savior, the Messiah for all mankind, is born in Bethlehem. His name is Jesus. Would you go see him? The question is are we going to tell it, or are we going to keep this amazing, life-transforming message of hope and salvation to ourselves? While the world around us longs, just as in the day of Jesus' birth, longs for hope, are we going to keep this simple message to ourselves? Are we going to try and overcomplicate things for others so that they may never hear or want to come into a relationship with him? And what happened next as a direct relation to what the shepherds heard really is just as like the message is just as simple, and that is the choice that ultimately led to their lives being forever transformed. You see, the shepherds that night, they heard the message, and what they did next is what they acted out. And that is the simple act of trusting in Jesus and coming to Jesus. You see, the simplicity of the message is carried over into the simplicity of our response to what we hear. They heard the Savior had come, then they trusted and they came. Later on in Jesus' life, we will hear the simple call to follow him is what he calls his disciples to. Come and follow me. Leave your life behind and follow me. To me, I'm a pretty simple guy, obviously, and that to me is you either do it or you don't. It's not a hard choice. You either hear the message that Jesus is the Savior and you trust and come, or you stay in the field and you keep tending the sheep. Jesus' statement to the people in Galilee later on in his ministry was that the good news of God had come, and if you want to receive the good news in your life, you repent and you believe. If you want the good news in a relationship, Jesus made it pretty clear in his ministry, repentance and belief, and it's there, available, waiting. Paul shares in his book to the Romans that Romans chapter 10, and we'll flip there later on in the morning, but he tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is the Savior, and believe in Jesus, you will be saved. There wasn't a question mark to Paul. There wasn't a list of do's and don'ts. It was, you confess, you believe, you will be saved. You see, the message was simple of who Christ is and his salvation gift. And our response to that message is pretty clear. You either come to Jesus and follow, or you stay in a life separate, continuously sinning, and eternally not in a relationship with God. It's pretty easy to figure out and choose. Salvation is not found in jumping through various religious hoops. Salvation and an everlasting relationship with God is not found in following some set of list of rules to obey and check off. It's not a matter of, did I do or did I not do this in my life? Salvation is not found in, and relational access is not gained through anything you and I could ever do on our own power. It is only found in what Jesus did once and for all by coming to this world, living his life, and dying in our place on the cross. You see, our relationship with God and the hope of salvation and forgiveness of our sins is found in the act of our willingness to trust in him and come to him as our Lord and Savior. In other words, as Paul says, believe and confess. The work was complete in Jesus. His birth, his sinless life, his death, his resurrection paid and made a way open for us to choose following him. Our role, if you can even call it that, is making the choice to trust and to come. You see, aren't you glad God didn't create some list of do's and don'ts in order to gain relational access to him? Aren't you glad God did not create a way for us found in accomplishing some list of good deeds or behavior? Because I don't know about you, but I'd fail every day and almost every moment if I had to keep up with a list in order to meet God's standard of a relational status with him. Aren't you glad that that God sent his son to pave the way and to pay something and do something that we could never accomplish in our life? In his completed work and sacrifice? And that is the great news for you and I today and for the world around us today, is that the very same message the shepherds heard that night, salvation has come and it's found in Jesus, will you trust and will you go to him, is the same message presented to you today and presented to those around us today. And that is why we gather every Christmas season to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the one who offers us salvation. So let's not complicate things whenever we invite people with those touch cards to Christmas Eve service who may not have ever heard this simple gospel presentation of Jesus. Let us not overcomplicate things whenever somebody says, I want that, but I don't know how. It's trust and come. Confess and believe. Will you do that or won't you? That's the beauty of God's salvation plan. The question is, will you put your trust in him as your salvation and come to him today? There might be somebody here today who's wondered that very thought of, how do I get there? I want to be good, but I fail. I've gone to church my whole life, but I don't know if that makes me a follower of Christ. I've been hurt by the church in the past, and I don't want to be hurt again, and I find my salvation in a religion. Well, it's not. It's in a relationship of trusting in Jesus and coming. It's in a relationship of confessing your sins and his salvation and believing in what he did. Because when you do it, it will change your life forever. just as it changed the shepherds. And the last thing I want us to look at here is what happened that night when these shepherds heard that message and were forever changed by coming and trusting in Jesus. And that is this: the major impact your life can and will have on those around you. Notice what happens here. The angels left. They went to heaven, where they were before. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's see this baby. Let's see what happens." And when they came, they found Mary, they found Joseph, they found the baby. And when they'd seen him, when they had come to him, their lives were transformed, and they made known everywhere they went all that they heard and all they seen. And the fact that the Messiah was born and his name is Jesus, they couldn't stop from telling it to everyone they met on the streets. Then in verse 20, they returned back to the fields, I can imagine, praising and glorifying God for all the things they heard and seen as it was told. You see, that night the angels told them the good news. The shepherds trusted in that message. They came to Jesus and their life was impacted so much that they immediately left and they immediately told and retold and retold and retold until they got back out to the sheep. And I imagine they probably were still talking about it in front of the sheep, not necessarily for the sheep, but to each other, that the message of Christ's birth came. The long-awaited Savior happened. Their Messiah and Savior was there. They didn't have Facebook or Twitter or email or broadcast on smartphones and video calls, and they didn't take pictures, and they didn't go to the news outlets. They simply used their mouth to tell everyone they encountered, "Hey, did you know Jesus came? He's born. He's lying in the manger, and he's our Savior. Do you want to meet him too? Hey, did you know Jesus came and he was born in the manger and his mom's Mary and Joseph and he came to save you and I? Do you want to go meet him?" Hey, you get that point, I think, now. They told everyone they met. Can the same be said of us? Do we go around telling those around us, "Hey, Jesus is born. He came to save us. Pretty simple choice. Do you want to come meet him? Do you want to come meet him?" You see, there's people around us longing to know that simple message that's transformed your life. What's keeping us from telling it to them? What's keeping us from inviting them into the congregation here to hear the wonderful news of Jesus Christ? If you've been too scared to do that in the times past, grab the touch card. There is no better season where everyone in this world just about is celebrating Christmas time and thinking in the back of their mind, whether they want to admit it or not, they are thinking, "You know, I know this holiday is really about some guy that was born a long time ago named, I think, Jesus. I wonder what that's all about." Perhaps it's you who drops that card off and says, "Will you come with me? I'd love for you to hear the story. I'd love for you to come and meet the one who transformed my life, and his name's Jesus." Notice there's no mention of them worrying about what the people decided with what they shared. They didn't go up to Joe on the street corner and say, "Joe, let me tell you about Jesus," and them worrying, "What's Joe's going to do next?" They just told, just as it was told to them. It was told to them and the angels left. Angels didn't stick around saying, "What are you lingering around here for, guys?" The angels didn't stick around and say, "Hey, are you going or not? Just curious." No, the angels told the message, they left. It was up to them. The shepherds told the message, and it was up to the person they told what they'd do with Jesus and this good news. So it's no wonder why Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, I'm just going to flip there real quickly, Romans chapter 10, Paul tells us this. He says, "For with our hearts one believes into righteousness, with our mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew, Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who come upon him." There's no separation in God's family. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call in him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 17. "So then by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, it takes individuals like you and I to go around and share the message and the hope. Imagine what would have happened if the angels had decided, "We're not going to tell the message of Jesus tonight. We're going to wait till, you know, tomorrow afternoon after we get a good night's sleep." What would have happened if the angels would have said, "We're not going to go to the fields where the shepherds are. We're going to go somewhere else that we want to do"? What would have happened if the shepherds had decided, "Oh man, that's a great message. Wow, we just saw Jesus. He is the Messiah we've been longing for. All right, let's go back"? What would have happened? What would have happened if the person who shared the message of hope of Jesus to you had said, "You know what, I'm going to let them sit one more day, one more night. You know, I don't know them well enough. I'm not going to share Jesus with, well, you who are sitting here today and online." What would have happened if they would have not done that for you? Life would be pretty hopeless for us right now. We wouldn't have the joy in the midst of global pandemic and worldwide hate going on. We wouldn't know the joy and the peace that's found in Jesus. We wouldn't be sitting here today saying, "We live, we die, it's a gain, we're in heaven," sitting and knowing all the answers to all of life's questions. We've got a relationship with Jesus. Imagine if that would have happened. But thankfully, the angels obeyed and they shared. Thankfully, the shepherds followed through and they went and they shared. Thankfully, the men and the women who've come before you and I shared with you and I. The question is, are we going to go out and share? Are we going to continue that heritage, that call? Are we going to continue being the loudspeaker God has called us to be of the greatest message this world has ever known? God never meant for his son's birth and the gift of salvation to be kept a secret. He just ignited a flame and letting us join in the broadcast of that message. Silent arrival of Jesus was broken by the remote announcement to a few individuals in a field, but it didn't stay that way. The spark was lit and could not be contained, and here we are some 2,000 plus years later still declaring the message of hope is found in our Savior, Jesus, who came that wonderful night in a little town called Bethlehem. And you're the loudspeaker to that amazing story that those around us still need to hear. So let this Christmas season be one where you not just simply hear the message of hope and the message found in Jesus Christ, but where you also come to a point where you've trusted in him and you've come to him as your point of salvation, as your Lord, and as your entry into a relationship with God. And where more importantly, and almost just as importantly, where you and I have the same boldness to go and to tell the world around us there is hope, and there is peace, and there is joy, and it's found in the Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you came, that you had this plan of salvation written out long before the foundation of the world was ever set in motion. Father, that you waited until that most perfect, beautiful time in history. And Father, that you shared that news with what seems to us like a quiet announcement. But Father, it lit a fire that cannot be contained in the shepherds' lives. And Lord, I pray that it cannot be contained in our lives either. And so, Father, as the world around us seems to be crumbling and as the world around us seems to be longing for hope that can only be found in you, may you give us the boldness and the courage to go to the individuals across the street and in our schools and in our workplaces, Lord, and be able to share with them the simple message of hope found in your name. And ask them to make the simple choice to choose to trust and come, confess and believe. Father, would you give us that power today? In Jesus' name, amen.